It's Harvest Public Media's Field Notes. I'm Jessica Najunas. Today on the show, love the wine you're with. Believe it or not, Missouri's a big wine state. But you won't find Pinot Noir snobs flocking here for tastings. Most of Missouri's vineyards and wine cellars are relatively young, and so is the cultivation of the state's official grape, the Norton. No joke, this is actually the oldest native grape in the country. Around 100 years ago, Missouri was the second largest wine-producing state, but somewhere along the way, California became the wine king, and regional Midwestern wineries were sort of left at the bottom of the barrel. Now Missouri is home to almost 400 vineyards that employ thousands of agricultural workers who pick, crush, and nurture grapes like the Norton. $60 million worth of Missouri wine is sold each year. So what's a story about wine without a little in your glass? I met up with local Columbia food and wine writer Samantha Chulik. We're sitting outside at a local wine bar in Columbia, Missouri, and we've just opened a bottle of Norton wine for her to taste.
Most Nortons are Zinfandel-like, like a California Zinfandel. They're fruit-forward, but they're not jammy like a Syrah or something. They're a lot lighter in body than a Cab, but they still are rich. So it'll be interesting to see what this brings out, what characters, what fruit characters it brings out.
She found her love of wine in her home state of California, so I thought it would be interesting to talk to her about the humble Norton grape. She gives a few sniffs to the dark purple wine sitting in the bottom of her glass.
And now I will drink it. Lots of cherry, lots of red fruit, a little bit of spice. It's bright. It's a bright one. It's not too much smoke, nothing like that. It just smells like bright red, like cherries, maybe some fig. It's really soft when you first sip, but it firms up, and there's nice acid on the back end. There's some really nice acid where it's not too powerful. That's really smooth. It's almost like a Pinot.
Chulik lets the glass sit for a while, and then she takes her second sip.
It's really good. It's surprising. It's surprising when something from Missouri, which no one really talks about as a wine-producing state, is this good. This is something you could drink on a daily, you know, come home with a steak and grill some, you know, some meat. Even some lamb would be great with this. It'd be like lamb chops or something on the grill, definitely, but it'd be perfect.
She says after spending some time working for a winery on the West Coast, she realized how much agriculture goes into wine. It's not just pretty bottles on a shelf.
I have utter admiration for them because it's a really hard job, and you have to be out there in the elements all the time just for us to have a pleasant glass of wine at the end of the day to calm our nerves or something. What it takes to just get a glass of wine to have with your meal.
A week before my conversation over Norton wine with Samantha Chulik, I was riding along atop a grape harvester on an unseasonably cold mid-Missouri morning. Larry Lopez was the man driving the harvester, and he's bundled up in a winter jacket and gloves. The group of three with him has been up since well before 6 a.m., riding up and down the rows of grapes.
Well, we'll straddle over the top of the row right here, and what those beater rods do is they'll shake in sync with each other, and they will knock off all the fruit, shake it through the canopy, and it'll drop it down into the buckets that are on the backside.
The harvester is this big blue metal machine with a hollow center that shakes rows of Norton grapes. They fall off the vine relatively unscathed. Today, it's the last harvest of the growing season for Les Bourgeois Winery. After 4 hours of harvesting, the bins of grapes are brought down to a flatbed truck. The head winemaker at Les Bourgeois, Corey Baumgars, shows up, and we walk the now quiet rows.
You know, Norton is such a challenging grape to work with. I think there have been periods in my winemaking career where it wasn't one of my favorite grapes to drink. What I've noticed across our industry over the last 5 to 10 years is we've really improved the viticulture, and we've really improved our winemaking techniques on Norton. So Norton's kind of moved from one of these grapes that I worked with and made the best quality wine I could out of to something that I've actually gotten behind a lot stronger and enjoying to drink Norton and make wine out of Norton, you know, tenfold more than I did 10 years ago.
Baumgar says 15 years ago, Norton wine just wasn't balanced enough. Too much acid, too much of a vegetative taste. There was still a demand for the wine, but not enough vineyards had the grapes, so whatever was available, at any quality, was purchased and then turned into wine.
Let's say there are 15 people that made good Norton. Only two of them every vintage would have great Nortons. Others would have mediocre, and I think what we've done is now there are 30 wineries that are making really good Norton, and 20 of them are making great Nortons every year. And a lot of that's been with collaboration between winemakers and grape growers.
He says right now there's not much of a difference in taste throughout the mid-Missouri growing region, but he predicts 10 years from now, as techniques continue to improve, wine from St. James might have distinct notes from Baumgart's wine in the Rocheport area.
We have some Norton that we worked on last week that we're bringing from the tank back out to the press. So today we'll be able to see the whole cycle, which will be kind of cool.
A 20-minute drive from this vineyard is the Les Bourgeois Winery, where the grapes are brought to be destemmed, crushed, fermented, and aged. And walking up to the facility, there's this intoxicating aroma. Grapes and the scent of fermentation fill the air.
Yeah, you can smell wine fermenting. You can smell the grapes being processed.
This is Baumgart's first harvest in a new processing facility that brought the winery's production up from 20,000 gallons of wine to over 100,000. It's a huge building with about a dozen wine tanks inside. One is big, round, and white, and they call that one Moby. Outside, you can't miss two grape crushers. If you imagine what an oversized, top-of-the-line espresso machine might look like, this is it. They're massive, stainless steel, made in Italy, really expensive. It has a cylinder that holds the grapes. It rotates over and over, and the juice falls below and is pumped back into the tank room.
On reds, you have harvest, you have crushing and stemming, then you'd have fermentation, then you'd have maybe some maceration time where you're going to leave the grapes in there for a little while, and this would be draining the press. This would be about your fifth step in processing a red.
Baumgart shows me what it looks like inside one of the big tanks. They hold about 6 tons of grapes. And this is not a regular wine tour. I'm up close to this giant vat of grapes and halfway wine at the bottom. And we're standing on this narrow metal catwalk at the very top of the building.
So we're going to go look inside of a tank. Open it up.
Peering in from the top of this tank, I can see thousands of round pieces of fruit, but no liquid at this angle.
All right, so we still have some grapes on the skins. The whole reason you put your skins in there is to extract the flavor out of the skins. The problem is once you start fermenting, your yeast produces carbon dioxide. The bubbles hook on the skins and they all float to the top. So 2 or 3 times a day, we have to do what's called a pump over, or you might do a punch down, and there are various techniques, but you basically have to hydrate those skins.
To demonstrate, Baumgart takes a long rake-like tool and pushes into the layers of grapes that have floated to the top of the tank. What's amazing throughout this tour of the winery is how big the production process is and how little the ubiquitous wine bottle seems. There's so much work on the agriculture side that goes into a glass of wine. It takes about 18 months to get Norton grapes into the bottle.
Think about like capital investment and return on investment, things like that. You know, if we're growing the grapes, we have to grow them for 12 months. We have all that in there. You pick them on Norton, you know, you have to buy the barrels, you do all that stuff, and it could be really from the minute you start paying labor on that crop, it could be 36 months before you get paid on it.
Back outside, the grapes from the morning harvest have come in, and they're ready to go through the entire process you just heard about. And if you've ever had a glass of Les Bourgeois wine, here's something you probably didn't know. It came into this world with the help of Johnny Cash. They put on a CD, and the first song up is Folsom Prison Blues, and the music echoes around the airy plant.
Probably a 15-year tradition that every grape that comes into our winery gets Johnny Cash played for the very start.
How did that start?
I have no idea. We probably only had one CD at the time, and it was Johnny Cash. Then we just started doing it, and it actually works really well because when everyone's working and setting everything up, whoever's, like Jacob today is, and he typically does it, is overseeing all the crush pad. Yesterday I was doing it, and you know, he has to make sure he's actually hooked up on the tank, all his additions are in, everything's ready to go. And then when you hear Johnny Cash, you know it's ready. So then everyone, you know, it's kind of your call to your positions.
Big bins holding Norton grapes are dumped into the top of the destemmer, and the machine neatly separates stems and sticks from grapes. The process sort of sounds like the noise a big hog would make if it were rolling over in its pen. On the side of the building, grape harvester Larry Lopez and his team are laughing and smiling as they celebrate their final harvest of the season. And they do it with a drink, but it's not Norton. It takes a lot of cheap beer to make good wine. That's it for Field Notes. For more, visit harvestpublicmedia.org.
Harvest Public Media is a reporting team based in 4 Midwestern states, Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas. We're here to tell stories of the farmers who feed us and explore issues surrounding the production and consumption of food and fuel. Harvest Public Media is funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You can find us online at harvestpublicmedia.org.